Guess what? I got something to tell you. We all live the same life. Well, kinda. Sit down with us as we discuss various topics regarding being married millennials. When your spouse is both your best friend and your pain in the you know what. Welcome to another episode of the Married to Millennials podcast. I'm Tuck.
And I'm Mishi.
What's up, baby?
Hi.
How's it going? Uh-oh. Let me guess.
What?
Magnificent.
Glorious.
Hey, that's what I like to hear. All right. So I'm going to start this off with a little questionnaire. How's that sound?
There go my throat again.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. You and this gas, I tell you. You and you not being able to burp. That is crazy. Everybody get to hear all that. So I'm going to start off with a questionnaire. As they say, is it questionnaire? Questionnaire. Got you. I am going to read you a few questions, and I want you to say yay or nay. You ready?
Yep. Yay.
Hey, you followed directions. You was the champion, as Simon says, wouldn't you? Babe, if I fell off tomorrow, would you still love me? Yay or nay?
Yay.
If I didn't smell so good, would you still hug me?
Nay.
If I got locked up and sentenced to a quarter century, could I count on you to be there to support me mentally?
It depends on what happened.
Mind you, that's 25 years.
It depends on the situation at hand. If you did something stupid, then nay.
Okay. If I went back to a hoopty from a Benz, would you poof and disappear like some of my friends?
Boy, listen. We were riding around with Maria.
Right. Ooh.
With no friend.
Yes. At one point. Maria was a, oh man, I don't even know what year. It had to be like a, what, 96? 98, I think it was. 98 Saturn with a missing front bumper. Because of a previous accident that my car was totaled, but I still was going to drive that thing.
I wasn't letting it go.
I wasn't. What else was I supposed to drive? Total it and only gave me $1,000. What am I supposed to get with that? Anyway, sorry.
It was a 98.
Okay.
It was like 2013.
But it was my 98. Okay. Anyway, if I was hit and I was hurt, would you be by my side?
Yay.
If it was time to put in work, would you be down the ride?
Well, it depends. I'm a ride or live.
Okay. All right, this next one.
I don't know about that ride or die stuff.
You're a ride or live. Mm-hmm. I feel you on that. All right. All right, I'm going to skip this next question because it's a little explicit. But if I ain't rap, because I flip burst.
What made you want to be 50 Cent today?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, 50 Cent had some very valid questions. The other one was out ride or die, so we just kind of skipped that one. I think y'all know lyrics for that. Okay, yeah, we're going to leave that one out too. Yeah, that was my last question. So, you guys know familiar with the song 21 Questions. I want everybody to think, was 50 Cent being unreasonable? Yes, some of it he was. It was like far-fetched. Like, come on, dude. Like, really? Like, you know these answers. Like, but the thing is, this is me. If she answered yes to all the questions, she got to go. She got to go because she ain't using the brain up top that God gave her.
She ain't.
Because I want you to listen, as men, we need y'all to be logical for us sometimes. If some ideas don't sound good, I need you to bring me back down to earth and say, nah, baby, that ain't it.
Don't you worry.
Right. You gonna let it be known, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I feel that. Which brings me to we can kind of segue into our topic today. It's about careers, dreams, and passions. Hmm. And along with that, sacrifices.
Okay.
How's that sound? Ready to dive in?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna kind of set it up because I wanted to elaborate because we kind of tiptoed around. We didn't tiptoe, but we didn't fully go into detail of our situation when I was in school. And we're just going to kind of previously in the other episode, we talked about how you held the household down pretty much while I was in school and financially. So I just wanted to kind of dive back into that as well, too. I want to ask you one question. Well, multiple questions, but the first question is going to be, do you feel as though some of your dreams and desires were put on hold because of that time, or?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Only because I think I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do in general.
Okay.
Because, you know, I had finished up my master's degree and I was just like, what next?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what am I going to do next? I knew I didn't want to go back and sit in nobody's classroom.
Right.
And I was trying to figure out how to use my degree so it wouldn't go to waste.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be in the like medical, healthcare, whatever field.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the reason for me getting my master's was because I no longer wanted to be the actual provider.
Yeah.
So at that time, I think I was still just trying to find my way of what I wanted to do. So, no, I don't think anything was on hold necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, so let's kind of talk about what was happening whenever I did get accepted into school. You were finishing up your master's, of course. And right before we left, actually, you had got a job offer to a dentist's office. Mm-hmm. You had just got there, but we were about to leave. So do you feel like, how did you feel during that time? Like, hey, I just, you know, just landed this job and, you know, I kind of promised him that we would move pretty much for school. How did you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I think we talked about it, like your aspirations of going to chiropractic school because you were working at a chiropractic office in Columbia. And that's when you started kind of falling in love with it. So
yeah,
I knew that before even taking that job that you were eventually needing to go somewhere because obviously it wasn't going to be Columbia.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in that moment, I think that was one of the reasons why I applied to that company because I knew that company was all over the place.
Got you.
So, you know, me getting my foot in the door gave me the opportunity to be able to move.
Right.
So it wasn't as scary as it probably would have been if it was just like a local office, but with it being one of those like corporate entities. I was able to try to find another job, same role, you know, just in a different area. But it was interesting because when did I start? July that year. And then November, we moved.
Right, right.
So, I mean, that was 4 months
between
all that. So, I mean, I basically got trained up and then I moved.
Right, right. So we've kind of talked about God ordering our steps with almost everything in our life. Kind of talk about that time. One question I want to ask is like during that time and you knowing that we needed to move, what was some of the things that went through your mind? Like, did you feel like you had to quit that job or, you know, or did you like, well, not necessarily quit that job, but did you feel like the next thing was going to be set in place or was it kind of like a up in the air?
Oh, I mean, I never knew exactly what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, like again, we had the conversations and like my ideal world would say, yeah, I can get up and move and, you know, take another role. But that's not how it happens all the time. Like it had to fall into place.
Right.
Like it had to align. And so we had conversations where I was just like, well, I mean, I'll do what I have to do in order for us to be able to move where, I mean, an hour drive every morning is not terrible. People do it.
Yeah.
So I was willing to make a commute for us, you know, in the meantime, until I got to a situation where something was available, it just so happened that it did come available.
Right. Right.
Cause you were not very happy about
not at
me
all.
Wanting to commute.
Not at all. Cause like in my mind, I guess I was being a little bit selfish too. I was thinking to myself, well, if I'm at school and she's driving an hour, we're never going to really see each other. You know, I was thinking about some of that. And then also, to your safety.
Yeah,
I just didn't want you, like, to have to put that many miles on the car if you didn't necessarily have to. Because in the grand scheme of things, here I am talking about finances. In the grand scheme of things, like, saving that and you driving every time, we're just going to, the money just going to be cycling anyway, you know. Mm-hmm. So all those things went through my head. But it was something, for me, as a man, I felt like I was out of control. Like I did, it was nothing I could control with that because, like you said, you still had to work. So at the time, I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah, we needed every penny.
Right. So at the time, I was like, okay, yeah, maybe, maybe that is the only option. But still in the back of my mind, I was like, I don't want her to have to do that. But luckily, you didn't have to do that. Yeah, you know, they kind of, yeah, it kind of worked out. You end up getting a position here.
It aligned that someone was leaving the same position.
Right.
And they needed to fill it up this way, you know, with my expertise necessarily, I guess. Because at that time, it was more about the receivable part of it. But
right.
Yeah. It worked out and it was perfect. I mean, it still wasn't the ideal situation for me because I still had to have a crazy commute in the morning. Even though I wasn't driving distance, time was not that much different.
Right.
Because of all the traffic.
Right. Welcome to Upstate for sure. And welcome to 85.
Welcome to 85.
So let's kind of fast forward. So we... You know, you started working up here. I was in school and all of the financial burden was really on you. I have a question for you. We talked about it before. You say you were fine with it, but I want to ask, were you truly happy during that time?
Yeah. Again, we said it earlier. Like, I'm a ride or live, like not a ride or die, right? So right. I knew what you were going through. After I knew what you were planning to do, I knew what you were working towards.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, yeah, I was happy because, well, number one, it was something that you wanted.
Yeah.
And I knew like it made you happy. So, you know, immediately I'm like, okay, let's do this. Number two, who wouldn't be excited about their spouse hitting the goals that they want, right? Mm-hmm. And then number three, I just so happened to be in the area with my family.
right.
So it wasn't like you took me to, you know, 6 hours away from everybody, you know, because that would have been tough with you being in class a lot.
Yeah.
But if I really wanted to not be by myself or if I had a moment on the weekend where you were studying or something, my mom and dad were only 30 minutes away.
Right.
My sisters were only 30 minutes away, you know. My grandma was only 30 minutes away. Mm-hmm. And that's who I talk to all the time.
Right.
So, you know what I mean?
Right.
Call up Carbell and go hang out with her.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was happy. I had friends. You know, my friends are still here. So,
Yeah. And, you know, I knew that was important to you. So, that in the back of my head was something that I was thinking about. One, when we were trying to figure out where we were going to live as well, too. Because, you know, my school was in Spartanburg. But, you know, one thing I was like, okay, I didn't want you to drive. But for me, I was like, I don't mind driving from wherever. Mm-hmm. Wherever is going to make her happy and make it work, too. Because you were already, you know, sacrificing for me. So I was like, well, hey, I'm going to sacrifice for her as well, too. And living in Fountain Inn was a lot closer than us living in Spartanburg to family. So I was like, you know, that's like a halfway point. So it was like halfway for the school, halfway to them. So it really just kind of worked out and and it made sense, you know? And one other thing too, is I was also thinking about that as well too, because during the showcase, I was like, okay, yeah, this is getting ready to be vigorous. So also, this is one thing in the back of my mind. Whenever I think about something, I say, well, I'm going to do this, but I still want to be married. So, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think about those things. I think about your feelings. You know, maybe in the beginning, I didn't quite think about your feelings, but I learned to do that as well, too. Especially in a marriage.
I mean, it was tough, I think.
Yeah.
From that point of view, just you were always having to be doing something at school, pretty much. Like, you'll wake up, obviously, because the commute was 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So you'll wake up, get on the road, get to school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what was your first class at 8? You know what I mean?
Oh,
so
God.
You'd be left the house by 7, sometimes a little bit earlier because of traffic.
Right.
Get to school, stay all day because it doesn't make sense. Like you weren't the normal student. You know, you were the seasoned student. So right. you weren't the normal student that stayed in the housing nearby or right. something where people could just like, okay, class is done, I'm going home. Mm-hmm. So you would stay
yeah.
to finish up the day and then get home maybe 6:30.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's close to a 12-hour day.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you got home, we ate and then you went to study.
Right, right.
So there was not a whole lot of time for us.
Yeah. Speaking of time, like, I know quality time is your love language. How was that affected during that time?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That was, I guess, the most difficult piece about it.
Mm-hmm.
Only because we barely got to interact. I mean, we tried to make sure that we had a little bit of time. But
yeah,
from what I was used to what we now had to evolve to, it was tough because I'm like, well, I just want to go do this. I want to, mm-hmm. you know, maybe sit and just watch some TV with my husband. But I knew that you couldn't necessarily do that because of school.
Mm-hmm.
Like you had to study for those tests. I mean, I get it. And yeah. I understood. I never thought like you didn't want to talk to me.
Right.
And I also want to make sure I provided space for you to be able to have quiet and study uh-huh. and stuff uh-huh. like that. I mean, we didn't have kids at the time. We just yeah. had dogs.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, a dog.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't that I faulted you necessarily for uh-huh. it, but it was just kind of, at times, could be lonely. And that's why I'm saying, like, it was nice to have family and friends nearby.
Yeah. And I will be completely honest with you. There were times during that entire process that I felt guilty, and not only guilty, but I also felt kind of selfish during times. Cause for me, I was like, my answer for things was, well, babe, I study, I got to do this, I got to do that. I, and looking back on it, I felt like it was all about me. And I never really thought about you in the situation as well too. Perfect example, you know, on top of everything with school, I decided to go, oh, yeah, babe, I applied to be a student ambassador.
Oh, yeah, that, now that got to me.
I decided to be a student ambassador. And, like, in my eyes, I was like, yeah, this would be a good way for me to, like, interact with people, you know, be known in the school. Like, that was just me, like, trying to build a, I don't even know what I was trying to build, like, build a, not even a portfolio, but
your reputation matters to you a lot. It like does. You want people to know your name. You want people to see you. Like yeah. you are that spotlight type of person. I'm not.
Yeah.
And so for you, that was your way of being a face of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And which you did. You became the face of the school.
Right.
But at what expense?
Exactly. Exactly.
Because, okay, so we're doing that Monday through Friday, and then turn around and now Saturday you got to be gone all day.
Yeah,
that was rough.
Yeah,
now that one I struggled with a little bit.
Yeah,
and I think we talked about it, but
we have. And during the time, I will be completely honest with you. When I first did it, I thought to myself, I don't see what the big deal is. Like it. Isn't she with me to try to build my dream? Like, I'm trying to, you know, set things up. And in my mind, I got tunnel vision. I was more focused on, like you said, my reputation and what people thought. But then I neglected what you thought of me as well, too, mm-hmm. as a husband. And, you know, like I said, looking back at it now, I'm like, yeah, that probably was not the best. Not saying that you didn't, you know, like that, you know, wanted me to do things like that, but like still I should have thought about you. I should have said like, hey babe, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think?
It was just so frequent, you know,
yeah.
at the beginning. Anyway, uh-huh. When you first got into it, because I was just like, okay, so he's going to study all week.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. You're in school, right?
Yeah.
Like right. study all week, go to class all week. And then I'll turn around on Saturday and that's our only day really for us to just
right.
be.
Right.
At least part of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you're gone all day.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do? So I'm right. sitting at home and, you know, watching TV or, mm-hmm. you know, trying to figure something out, you know, do yeah. something in the yard.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. And then comes Sunday and you're like, no, nah, I'm here resting.
Yeah, because I mean, Sunday, then I'm trying to get myself mentally prepared to deal with the public, you know, again.
Yeah, right. You don't like people.
Not really. But seriously, you know, like, I'm trying to get mentally prepared. And then you're also probably still getting mentally prepared and studying for the next week because you got a test or something popping up. So
I'm not going to lie to you. During that time, I was overwhelmed. Yeah. I bit off more than I could chew. Looking back at it now, I wouldn't trade the experience. Let me back that up. I wouldn't trade the experience. But looking back at it now, I put too much on my plate when I took on there. Because not only did I become a student ambassador, I went into leadership, bro.
Right.
Because you know, if I do something, I got to do it.
Yeah, but that also wasn't the only thing that you did. So there were other clubs that you were a part of and became leadership in those. Uh-huh. And then so then now you're doing events and all these things that's just taking extra time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you're a likable person. So then you had a lot of friends in school that wanted to hang out with you. And you didn't hang out as much as you could have because I think you started recognizing. But there are times when you're like, oh, well, they just want to go here after school. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't want to be the wife that nags about it. Right. I didn't want to say like, what? Are you crazy? Uh-huh. Like, no. So I would say, okay, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
You know, even though inside I wanted to probably be like, what is wrong with him?
Mm-hmm.
But I also didn't want to take that away from you because that is part of the experience too.
Yeah.
But that was also tough because then, I mean, there's only so much time in the day.
Yeah. Right. So, kind of going grand scheme of things with me while I was in school and you, you know, focusing on your career as well, too. Do you feel that during that time, not wouldn't necessarily say you turned down opportunities, but did you shy away from, you know, advancement in the company or, you know, different things like that because I was in school? Or was that something that wasn't really even on your radar at the time?
If anything, I want to say that the advancement in the company was probably fueled by you being in school because I was the sole income at the time.
Yeah. Okay.
So any advancement in the company meant more money in our pocket.
Okay. Gotcha.
And so for me, I'm like, yep, let me go ahead and do this because then I can better support us.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Because the entry level pay was not going to be sufficient. Mm-hmm. Forever.
Gotcha.
And I mean, I also want to do well in my work, right? So I don't think I turn anything down. I do think that just from maybe personally, I may have turned some things down with like friends and stuff just because I was trying to accommodate us being together when we could.
Right. Okay.
But professionally, I don't think I did just because I was fueled by trying to do something greater.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Got you. And so that time was about three and a half years. Four years.
Yeah.
It was time. I went through got through school, did pretty good.
Oh, you did great. Passed every class.
Yes. And in the back.
The first time.
Yeah, the first time. There it is. Do you feel like, you know, during that time, you're like, yeah, it's 4 years. Got you. When it's time. Did you have kind of like a timeline for me to figure it out after graduation? Or was it more of just kind of let him kind of flow and see what happens?
I didn't have a timeline. I mean, again,
it's
not an ideal situation in this economy. Like, you have to have two incomes to be like, to be where you feel comfortable, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we were okay. Like, we were able to live. I mean, now granted, let's be real, like, it was student loans, so you did get a little bit of a refund check that we kind of helped us out a little bit. I mean, we got to pay that stuff back.
That thing ain't do much, whatever. It don't help you out.
It helped out a little bit. It did. You know what I mean? Like, it took a little bit of an ease off, but.
That's another episode for another day. That doctor, never mind.
It probably paid for a month of rent, you know, but it was what it was, right? I forgot where I was going with it.
I'm sorry.
You got me off track. But what was the question?
Did you have a timeline for me?
Oh, yeah. We were okay. So I wasn't really on like a timeline.
Yeah.
But I remember there being this time when, see, you're used to
I already know where you're
everybody,
going with this.
yeah,
Yes. Uh-huh.
everybody loving Tuck.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Tuck. So everything comes to him and it's easy and it flows really easy. You don't really have to put too much effort into it. And so I remember you just being like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I don't have a job lined up yet. And I'm like, well, what did you do? I looked you dead in your eye. I remember this because it kind of shocked you, I think.
It did.
I was like, what kind of effort have you put in? And you were like, I mean, you couldn't think of anything
No.
because you going to school, passing boards and getting your license, all great.
Right.
But what are you going to do with it?
Right.
Like, you're waiting on offers to come to you.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy? I thought me doing all that stuff in school, it was going to happen that way. Reality hit real quick. It don't work like that. You got to go out there and get it. And I remember that conversation. And it's funny that you said that is because I use that conversation with everything that I do now. Because no one, and I mean no one, ever in my life asked me, well, what'd you do like that? And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, dang, I really don't have an answer for that,
And so I remember at that moment, I was like, listen here. It's been 4 years. Like, you got to put your foot on the gas at this point and go out and get what you want. We didn't do this for nothing. And so, I mean, you did just that.
And I would say this, another piece that, of course, you feel me, but we also had Caden. So that was another thing that filled me as well too.
Because Kaden was just turning 6 months, a little bit over 6 months when you graduated.
And it wasn't more of it was I and I'm a, let me clear this up. It was never about the finances for you. It wasn't about like, oh, I need you to bring more money in. It never was like that. It was more of like you saw what we were trying to build. Now, are you going to put the roof on top of it? Basically, like you got to finish it, you got to furnish it, you got to do what you need to do with that. It was more of a, kind of like almost like a realization to me that finish the race almost.
Absolutely. But let's not get it twisted. I needed the extra income too, because I like to go travel. I like to be on a cruise or on somebody's island. And I can't do that by myself
I get that. I got you. I got
and
you.
take care of the house too.
I feel that.
And we also weren't taking on all those student loans for you not to have income coming in.
That's
So,
the truth. Harsh reality. Welcome to adulthood. By the way, adulthood is very overrated, but that's the story for another day.
I had to light a fire.
Yeah, I don't know. I get the message. Don't worry, we're good. We're good
Oh,
now. How
you
about
got
that?
it, yeah.
Yes. So let's kind of back up. So our timeline of, there was a big span, babe, of you finishing your master's, me going to school, us having kids. During all that time, like I said, compounded on us, like us having children, do you feel like still some of your dreams and passions were put on hold? And especially when we had Caden, do you feel like things were on a pause?
I think that's a hard question to answer.
Okay.
Only because, like I said earlier, I think I was trying to find where I wanted to be and what I wanted to do. And I tried different things. And you've always been very supportive of me, trying to do up my own business, with the whole wedding planning thing, which it was going fine. But because of children and having a family, like, I kind of backed up off of it because it was taking the weekends away.
Yeah, I understand.
So, I mean, I do have one other goal, that I will keep to myself
I got you, I
for sure.
understand. Yeah.
But I do have one other goal eventually, but I don't know that I have a timeline on it.
Okay.
So I can't say that someone or something put a pause on what I was gonna do, but I think that my thoughts kind of molded based on what we had going on. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
I
Does that make any
understand.
sense? I feel like I'm kind of
No.
mumbling, but what I'm trying to say is our situation at hand with having children, you getting into your career, me trying to figure out where my career was headed or
Yeah.
what I wanted to do with it. My logical brain was like, let's sit this aside for now.
Okay.
With it still in mind.
Okay.
But it's not an urgent thing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't want to say that we talk about sacrifices. I don't want to say that like I sacrificed my dreams.
Yeah, I understand.
Because of something that you did or the kids did.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just when the time is right.
Got you. No, I get that. And me, like you talked about before, I kind of pushed you, not pushed you, but like encouraged you to venture out and do the wedding planning and different things like that. As your husband, I'll be 100% honest with you. When it comes to your dreams, I ask you constantly about those things, about your goals and everything, because not only do I want to, you know, see the benefits from it, but I also want you to be happy. You know what I mean? At the same time, I never want you to think like you have to put things aside, because you're a very selfless person. You're very selfless. You always think about us before. I don't want it to get to the point that for years and years and years, I wouldn't say necessarily use it as an excuse, but use it as that's the reason why you're not doing something. And I'm always going to push you to your highest potential because I see things in you that you may not see, but I always want to push you towards those goals.
And I think I know that about you. So that's why I'm saying, like, I can't sit here. I'm sure many people probably could.
Yeah.
Say that because I mean, you hear it on the TV shows, you hear it, you know, in reality yeah. shows about, oh, I put this on the side because I had my baby.
Right.
Or I put uh-huh. this aside because my husband wanted to do his business.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily think that that is true for us.
Yeah.
Like, we communicate so well now
mm-hmm.
that I feel like if I have a dream, you're going to be like, yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
if I'm ready for it. And that's right. what I'm saying. Like, I have one goal that mm-hmm. I want.
I mean, I know I guess what it is.
Like a retirement yeah. plan. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know, you know. some people pray and then some people pray. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
So I feel you. I like that.
But I have one more goal
mm-hmm.
in mind. But it's just got to be the right time. And like, right now yeah. is not the right time. And then,
I got you.
And I'm okay with that. It's yeah. not that I'm saying that something's holding me up. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's the right time yet.
Got you.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, oh no, I have two goals. One is the one that I was just talking about. And then the other one is to be a stay-at-home wife.
Ah, got you.
Not a stay-at-home mom. I want to be a stay-at-home wife.
I like that title, actually. Feel that?
Stay-at-home wife.
I feel that.
And then I can make my homemade pastas and
yeah.
all this stuff. And organize my house the way I want it to
uh-huh.
be without feeling stressed.
Yes.
And sit on the couch and watch Netflix
mm-hmm.
until y'all get home.
Mm-hmm.
Or go out to Target.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not Target, because Target's been trying to play on us. But go out shopping somewhere. You
uh-huh.
know, go to Costco.
Yeah.
I don't know. Costco overwhelms me sometimes. By
yeah.
myself. But you know what I mean.
I know what you
get
mean.
My
yes.
point.
Yes.
So.
And you voiced that to me before because you feel like, you know, things would be a lot easier to get done.
It'll be a lot easier to get
yes.
done because then I wouldn't have nothing to, you know.
Uh-huh. So
and
let's
go ahead. Listen, go ahead. I want to say this right now uh-huh. because, you know, some people are probably listening being like, she wants to be like Susie Homemaker. No, that's not the point. It brings me joy to like make things with my hands.
Yes.
Like to make things from scratch.
To create, yes.
To find ways to make my household less toxic
mm-hmm.
and healthier,
mm-hmm.
you know. I enjoy the fact that like I'm trying to grow a garden
mm-hmm.
and I'm able to make my own laundry detergent and I can make sourdough. Like I like those things.
Mm-hmm.
It brings me joy.
Right.
It's actually very stress relieving.
Yeah.
So it's not someone putting me in the kitchen barefoot pregnant. That's not it.
No, I get that. Yeah.
Like it's something that I actually like to do.
Right.
So I just want to make sure I say that out loud because
mm-hmm.
there are some, you know, stereotypes when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, to be a stay-at-home wife,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm still a mom,
yeah.
obviously.
But gotcha.
When I say stay-at-home wife versus stay-at-home mom,
mm-hmm.
my kids are going to school.
Right.
They're going to be at the house. They're not.
Yeah.
Not sitting
here
staring
that.
At me.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
no,
I'm here
no,
too.
No. I get what
you're
saying.
What I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, that's a great segue actually to the next question that I have
mm-hmm.
too. Because, you know, with that, you know, being a stay-at-home wife, did I get that right?
Yep.
You get the title right. Got you. Being a stay-at-home wife.
Or stay-at-home queen. There we go.
I like that. Misha, the stay-at-home queen. I got you. So, with that being said, of course, you know, I'm going to talk about the finances. In order for that to be able to be accomplished, of course, we talked about before how nowadays it has to be a two-income house. But it doesn't necessarily have to be a two-income, like, coming from two areas. It just got to equal up to that.
Yeah, it could be a certain amount.
My question for you, with your love language being quality time, to build up to that, are you willing to sacrifice the time piece for the other part of where the finances will be coming from?
So I don't think we would have to.
Okay.
I don't think you have to.
Okay.
Because I think at that point we would be building something together. Mm. Right? Like I'm saying that, like, ultimately I wouldn't be working, you know, a full-time job.
Yeah.
You know, for someone else.
Right.
Or something like that. And I would be able to be at home and manage the house.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, we could build something together. And that is part of quality time. Like,
true.
Being together for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And right.
Intentional time.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it's just sitting on the couch watching a movie.
I get that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think you necessarily have to sacrifice the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, if you're having to sacrifice the time, that most likely means that someone is doing their own thing. You know what I mean? Like, it would be you trying to find a second income.
Right.
You know, and, like, take you out of the house and doing something like that. Or me trying to, you know, do something on my own. But if it was, even with the dream that I have.
Right.
You would be building it with me.
Right. No, I get that.
You know what I mean? And so, in that dream, I want to be more passive.
Right. Right.
So, I'm not even thinking about me just, like, working.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about me building the dream.
Right.
And letting it run.
Yeah. I get that. You know, and I already knew the answer to that, by the way. I just wanted to ask that because that is what people's first go-to is. And, you know, when we first started dating, we got married, my mindset was you work, you get paid. You work, you get paid. You work somewhere else, you get paid.
Mm-hmm.
That was always my mindset. And us together have grown. We've grown together to find out that, you know, when it comes to finances, it doesn't always have to be work. And things can be done where you don't have to sacrifice your time and you still get paid. And I feel like that is where some marriages get into a rift because, say, you know, someone else says, like, oh, yeah, I want to make my wife a stay-at-home wife or a stay-at-home mom in some people's eyes. Stay-at-home mom. So what does the man go? Well, I got to figure out something to bring some more money in here. And that's where the shift in the rift happens, is that the man thinks that, oh, she ain't doing nothing. I got to do it all or whatever. But here's the thing, though. As a husband and as a man, you're the leader. You don't necessarily have to put it all in your back, but you do have to be point man to say, hey, this is what we're going to do for our dream to be fulfilled. And I feel like that's the piece that's missing. And I feel like men think that you just throw money on something and the problem gets fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not necessarily that all the time. It's, what are y'all going to do together to make sure that that dream gets fulfilled? It's a collaboration. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But it takes vulnerability.
True.
For someone to be able to open that conversation and lead it.
Right.
And I think that's where it lacks sometimes too, because everybody assumes what the other one's thinking and, you know, what that means and, like, puts all the weight on their shoulders. We talked about it before, not being able to show emotions or show that you're frustrated or that you're overwhelmed. And, like, I don't want to just go into something and not have a plan.
Right.
Like, that's not me.
Right.
So when I say all that, I say that we would be planning together and that would be something that was beneficial for the family.
Right.
Not just because I don't want to work for somebody. That's not it.
I
like,
get it.
Yeah. I enjoy what I do.
Yeah. No, I get that.
I have no issues with my role and, you know, my career. I just know ultimately what brings me like joy and is taking care of my family.
Yeah.
And working with my, like making things for myself.
Yeah.
And I would have more time to do that, you know, if I was the stay-at-home queen.
There you go. Stay-at-home queen. I love that.
But yeah, I mean, until that happens,
yeah,
I'm not around moping about it because I'm fine. Like, yeah, I'm okay. I enjoy what I do.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't, the sacrifice, there's a sacrifice, like, when you're starting up on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also sacrifice when you're working together to build additional.
Right.
And I think that's the space that we would be in is like building additional. Like this, the sacrifice we did of like moving, you driving 45 minutes, me, you know, basically driving an hour every morning.
Right, right.
You know, being, having to be real tight on the budget.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the sacrifices to get us started.
Right.
And now at this point, we're just trying to enhance.
Yeah. And then as far as the communication piece, I know one thing that which we haven't done in a while, but I think we should kind of get back to it a little bit about like creating a plan, but we should do like a vision board. Like I said, we hadn't done that in a while, but I remember, I don't want to misquote because somebody went a little bit more to Sunday school than I did, but as far as writing it down, what's the verse again?
Write it down and make it plain.
There we go. Oh, that's it. I thought it was more than that.
I mean, it's like write the vision upon the tablets. Yeah. Or write the vision and make it plain upon tablets.
Yeah.
But it's basically saying like, you know, just say what you mean. I mean what you say.
Right.
Like, write it and be serious about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mean what you say.
Your church yourself gave me the King James Version when you first said, that's it. Excuse me. But like you said, just it's more of not only just writing it down, but just saying it out loud.
Yeah, because the whole purpose behind that verse, press down, shaking together, and run it over.
Okay.
The whole purpose behind that verse, though, is just talking about like writing it down, saying it out loud, believing it, right?
Yes.
Because the whole point is like believing God's gonna make it happen,
right?
And so that's what it is. But I joke around with my mom all the time when she'll say stuff and I'll be like, write down, make it plain, because I don't know.
Right.
You know, just what I'm saying is like, say it, mean it, understand it, believe it.
Right.
Because God's going to be the one that makes it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right. Amen, sister.
Oh, my gosh.
I agree.
Stop.
What?
Just stop.
All right, y'all. Talk to you later.
Hey, y'all. Did you enjoy the episode today? If so, don't forget to comment your favorite moments and share with your family and friends. While you're at it, go ahead and subscribe to our Married to Millennials podcast YouTube channel and follow us on every major platform for podcasts. And don't forget, we're also on Instagram and TikTok at M2M Podcast. See you later.